Living beings, Badakam, and Ende auf Stuffing muss, auf Material Nature. Geschichte wording off. Church and living the waves of false even and so on. Viramita should take special pleasure. Thought in that Muni a sage. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. But there exists a supreme reality in which the illusory energy cannot fearlessly dominate. In thinking, I can control this person because he is deceitful. In that highest reality, there are no illusory argumentative philosophies. Rather, there the true students of spiritual science constantly engage in authorized spiritual investigation. In that supreme reality, there is no manifestation of the material mind, which functions in terms of alternating decision and doubt. Created material products, their subtle causes and the goals of enjoyment attained by their utilization do not exist there. Furthermore, in that supreme reality there is no conditioned spirit covered by false ego and the three modes of nature. That reality excludes everything limited or limiting. One who is wise should therefore stop the waves of material life and enjoy within that supreme truth. Purport. The illusory energy of the Lord, Maya, can freely exert her influence over those who are hypocritical, deceitful and disobedient to the laws of God. Since the personality of Godhead is free of all material qualities, Maya herself becomes fearful in his presence. As stated by Lord Brahma, Vilajyamanaya yasya sthatum ikshapate guya. Maya herself is ashamed to stand face to face with the Supreme Lord. In the supreme spiritual reality, useless academic wrangling is completely absent. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.31, Yachaktyo vadatam vadinam vai vivada samvada bhogo bhavanti kurvanti chesham muhuratma moham tasmai namunanta gunayumne. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead who possesses unlimited transcendental qualities. Acting from within the course of the hearts of all philosophers who propagate various views, he causes them to forget their own souls, while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing among themselves. Thus he creates within the material world a situation in which they are unable to come to a conclusion. I offer my obeisances unto him. Om Akyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Om Nidhamayana Tasmai Shri Guru Nama Shri Chaitanya Manavishnam Sthapitam Yenamitale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Yandayate Gudin Yat Kripatam Hamande Shri Guru Nidhaharanam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter 6 of 12th canto is entitled Maharaj Parikshit Passes Away. So it's very interesting that this is being discussed in this topmost Vaishnava, topmost spiritual literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole chapter is, or rather, at many places described about passing away of devotees. So, actually, death is very inauspicious thing in material world, generally speaking. But in relation to devotees, whatever is spoken of birth, death or disease or old age, anything is auspicious because it's in relation to devotees and ultimately in relation to Krishna. Krishna, so they are Krishna's devotees. So that's why here Parikshit Maharaj's death or his passing away is being glorified, and we are encouraged to meditate upon such passing away. And also this is not exactly like a death. It's Maharaj Parikshit goes back to Godhead. That's how we can see this. So this is a point that at that point Maharaj Parikshit just goes back to Godhead. And for a pure devotee, which one example is Parikshit Maharaj, he is not like waiting, you know, when will I go to Godhead, and waiting anxiously whole life. It's not like that, because he is always, he can access Godhead or the spiritual world from wherever he is, because spiritual world is not limited. Unlike material world is limited by time and space, but spiritual world is not limited. It's not that there is somewhere and we have to go there. We can access spiritual world from wherever we are, depending on the qualification. So Maharaj Parikshit was fully qualified, and as we know that he was in the womb of his mother Rudra, and he had darshan of Supreme Lord when he was in the womb, and when he came out he was searching for that beautiful form of Lord everywhere. That's why his name became Parikshit, or one who is examining everyone, you know, is he Krishna, is he Krishna, is Krishna here, like that. And that's the mood of a pure devotee, that he is searching for Krishna at every moment. As you know, Mr. Sharad Goswami is there as well. So, you know, where is Krishna? You know, where is Krishna? They are searching, all the six Goswamis always. Is he at the Govardhan? You know, is he at the Vamshivata? The same way, Parikshit Maharaj, he is examining it. Where is Krishna? Is this person Krishna like that? So, that's the pure devotee. And although he is a king, he acted as a king, but he is not considering himself as the proprietor of the kingdom. He is just ruling the kingdom on behalf of Krishna. So at all the time he is in that meditation that this kingdom, this whole planet, whole creation belongs to Krishna, and I am just an instrument in his hands. I am just looking after his kingdom. So that was his mood. And this is a test actually, how to see if a person is attached or detached. So this is a test. So test is when you take away the thing from a person. If a person possesses something and you take away that thing, so what is the reaction of that person? That's the test, that we can see if he is attached or detached. So when he came to know, okay, in 7 days he is about to die, so he was pretty much detached. He just left and sat on the banks of Ganges. So he was detached from his family, kingdom, land, and children, everything. He was very detached. So that was the proof. So that's a pure devotee. So he is always always meditating on Krishna and searching for Krishna in everywhere. So here we are discussing about how he left. So these two particular verses that we discussed today, 30th and 31st, it's been spoken by Suta Goswami. So in this chapter, as we saw, when Parikshit Maharaj passes away and his son did a sacrifice to kill all the snakes, and further in this chapter we will see that how the Vedas came into being like that. So this is what this chapter discusses: passing away of Maharaj Parikshit, then the fire sacrifice, and further how Vedas came into being from the sound vibration of Lord Om. From Om, Lord Brahma created the Vedas, like that. Further there will be description. So here in this, we see there's a very nice, two very nice verse in this verse on the board, 30th. Here it says, Manashya Sankalpa Vikalpa Vrittiya, the last line. So here it talks about mind. So as we were discussing how a pure devotee is detached from this material world, so further we can take that topic, like it happens, the mind has a key role to play in attachment and detachment. So here the workings of the mind are given. So what does mind do? Sankalpa vikalpa. So that's the function of mind. I've been reading this Guruji and Prabhu's book, Japa. In there, there's much spoken about workings of the mind, how mind works. So if we don't know how mind works, so we are pretty much in trap of mind. We would never know how mind is cheating us, material mind. But here, from Srimad Bhagavatam, we can learn the workings of mind and material energy in total. So here it says, mind has two functions, sankalpa and vikalpa. So the words are given, decision and doubt. Or in simple words, accepting and rejecting. So that's what mind is doing all the time. So mind says, okay, this is good, I accept it. This is bad, I reject it. So at every moment it's doing that. And there actually Guruji Prabhu says how while chanting, you know, we can see the mind is so tricky that it has like no self-respect or something. It's like when you accept something, you accept it. No, but mind is so tricky, at one moment it will accept something, at very next moment it can reject it, like that. So it just goes on and on from here. It's like a hopping from here and there, like that. And this nature of mind is also being confirmed by Arjuna in 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when he says, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, pramathi balavadridam, tasyaham nigraham manye, vayu riva sudushkaram. So he also agrees that, oh, this mind is very flickering. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, pramathi balavadridam. It's very unsteady, flickering, you know, obstinate. It's like obstinate, you know, you can't bring it under control. It's very stubborn, like that. So this is the nature of mind. And then further in the next verse in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, he agrees with this statement of Arjuna. And Krishna, as we know, he is the source of everything. Janmadhyasya. So everything comes from him, the whole material creation and all the material elements of which mind is one. So Krishna, ultimately it comes from Krishna. So he himself agrees, as an ultimate manufacturer, he agrees, this one product, mind, he agrees that, okay, yes, this undoubtedly this mind is very hard to control. He agrees in the next verse. So, but then he says, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. But he gives the method how to control it. So, abhyas by suitable practice and detachment. So, like that. So, if we know this nature of mind, that it's always accepting and rejecting, this is good, this is bad, he is my friend, he is my enemy, like that. So, then we can come over it that, oh, it's just a function of mind, I won't get entrapped by it. So this is the very basic, actually, the fundamental thing about material nature, that it's based on dualities. And mind further acts like that this is good, this is bad. So these are the dualities, good and bad. And in spiritual world, it's oneness, in the sense everything is blissful. Everything. Even, you know, when someone is angry, crying, or seemingly happy, everything brings bliss in spiritual world. So in that sense, there is no duality. You know, when we look at it, it seems to be that it's someone is happy or someone is sad. Yesterday we were reading this Krishna book in the ashram, and there we saw how Rukmini, when Krishna is teasing her, she apparently faints and she was crying and fainted. So it apparently looks like, these are spiritual pastimes, but there is also sadness, happiness, and there was so much sadness that she faints, becomes unconscious. But no, in spiritual pastime, spiritual world, everything actually brings bliss. So that's one point to be understood. And this mind, we have to deal with it very nicely, so that we come out of the grip of mind. So here we see that there is description about this illusory energy of love, which is Maya. So Maya, here it says actually, Maya herself is ashamed to stand face to face with the Supreme Lord. So Maya is trying to trick us through the agency of mind. But we have to understand this fact, that Maya is one of, she is subordinate to Lord Shri Krishna. And here it says she is ashamed to stand face to face. Although this is her service, that's the service she is doing, devotional service to Lord. So we have, we have different services also. You do this, you clean here, you do duty service. So her rostered service is to put everyone, pull everyone down and cover them. So that's the two parts of her service. Pull them down and cover them up. And she does it very nicely, perfectly. It's never, she's never sick or doesn't turn up and so. No, always. Always alert. So in that way we can learn from Maya that, and as we know that, you just give little bit space and that's it. She will come in. She enters like a pin, comes out as a flaw. You just give little bit space. She's so attentive. So we can learn that we have to be attentive in our service. But here, why does it say that she is doing such a nice service? So then why is she ashamed? You know, when we do nice service, we want everyone to see that. We want everyone to know that. Yeah. We did this service, these many service points, jai. So, but here Maya is, doing such a nice service, but she is ashamed to stand face to face with the Lord. So answer is actually, once Gangeshwar Prabhu was explaining that the task given, the service given to Maya is actually very thankless. It's a thankless task. So the analogy is just like if a child is very naughty, extremely naughty, and parents are not able to control him. So sometimes they appoint a very strict teacher and give it to under the teacher's custody and whatever. Teacher will correct him. Teacher knows how to correct. So the teacher, the strict teacher, apparently very hard and rude and cruel, he has been appointed by the parents. So, but at the same time, teacher will try to do his duty to the best possible if he is genuine teacher. But at the same time, he won't come in front of parents and and say, "Oh, I've beaten your child like anything." He would be, he just keep silent about that. So in the same way here, Maya is ashamed to stand face to face. She is doing her service, but at the same time, she keeps quiet and she does her service. So we have to understand this, and as Bhagavad Gita says, just surrender to Krishna, and that way we can come over Maya. Devi esha gulmani mam maya duratya mame vie prapadyante maya mitam karantite. So when we surrender to Krishna, then we can come out of the grips of Maya. So we have to understand our position, that we are in this material world and how we are being tossed here and there. So further here in the purport, if you see the in the end, it says the word given is Urmin. Urmin means the waves. So this whole material world is compared to the ocean. The whole material world is the ocean, ocean of material existence. And what are the waves? There are different waves in this material ocean. So what are the waves? These waves of lust, anger, greed, and so on. There are many inauspicious qualities. All these are the waves. And actually there is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he explains this point as well. So in this, there are so many waves, you know, turbulent waves of lust, anger, greed, and so many other inauspicious qualities. And there are very ferocious alligators who are ready to swallow. These are alligators are compared to sense gratification. In this ocean, you know, all the living entities are trying to gratify their senses and try to get pleasure separately from Krishna. So this is a very deadly ocean like that. So there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, I will read this, he says, "My dear mind, you are so fondly attached to rolling to and fro upon the waves of lust. Abandoning your sensual material lust just renders service in pure spiritual lust, and thus extend yourself into the realm of transcendently uncommon pastimes." So here, this is a prayer where it is said, just leave this material lust and accept this spiritual lust. So there is a spiritual lust, or you can say another word is love. Love. Spiritual lust is love. So so what is spiritual lust? Or what is material lust in the first sense? So we are trying to selfishly gratify our senses, and we will do anything for that. So that's material lust. But spiritual lust means we are trying to satisfy Krishna's senses, and we will do anything for that. So we see how Prabhupada, he, at the age of 17, no one can think about it. You know, we will do anything to follow his Guru Maharaj's order to serve Krishna. We can go so far in a cold country like that. So we could do anything. So that's spiritual lust or real love for spiritual master and Krishna. Like that. And further, so why should we give up this material lust and take to spiritual world? So further, it's described in that song. It says, "It is not possible to quench the thirst of this temporary mundane lust, for its nature is to continuously create a disturbing situation." So this is the reason. Because whatever we want in material world, it cannot be quenched. It is like a thirst which cannot be quenched. So imagine that we are in a desert, and in summer, if you are so thirsty, you have no access to water. It's like that situation. You're so thirsty, and we are running after mirages. Like that. So that's why this material world cannot be quenched like that. It's like a thirst which cannot be quenched like that. So although you desire the things associated with lust, still you can not always get them. And even if you get these things you lust after, you cannot keep them. For such temporary things will give up your company very soon. So, okay, we lust about so many things of material nature, and many of them we cannot get, because as we know, a materialist is very tightly bound by laws of karma. So we may want many things, but if karma doesn't allow, we cannot get them. And somehow or other, then further it says, so these are the two situations. You want something, so you may or may not get them. So if you don't get them, you are frustrated. But if you get them, they are still temporary, they will leave you very soon. So in any situation, it's a lose-lose situation. But further, actually, we will discuss how bhakti, when you take to devotional life, it's a win-win situation. So that's the spiritual lust. So what happens? How is bhakti a win-win situation? So it's also described in great detail actually in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and of course other scriptures also. So in Bhagavad Gita we know that it says in second chapter, Neha Vikramanashvasti Pattavayana Vidyate Swalpam Apyasa Dharmasya Trayate Mantavya, that there is no loss or diminution in this endeavor. Even if you do little bit, you know, there is no loss or diminution. So whatever you do spiritually, it has a permanent effect. So there is no loss. And further in 6th chapter, Krishna explains it little more further, that how Arjuna has this doubt. Okay, now we have taken to this devotional service. Now what if we are not able to perfect it? Not able to become pure devotees. Here Parikshit Maharaj, you can see his life. You can see Parikshit Maharaj's life. Whole life is exemplary. The pure devotee after finishing the tenure of this life goes back to God. Perfect life. So sometimes it's hard to relate to that. Oh, can I do like that? Very hard to see, you know. If snake bird comes, he's not fearful, you know. Can we do that? Even if a bird comes, I'm fearful. So sometimes it's very hard to relate. But there this assurance is given how Krishna says, Partha Naivaya Namutra Vinasha Sasyana Vidyate. Like, if you do good, you will not be overcome by evil in this life or in the next. Like that, in 6th chapter, Krishna affirms this, that if you do good means, if you do little bit devotional service, that's registered, then you will not be overcome by evil in this life or next life. So that's the win-win situation. Even if you are not able to perfect, so there is no loss. You continue from wherever you have left. The further two verses are there, Prabhupada in Satam Lokan, that if you have advanced little bit, so then what happens? You go to the heavenly planets, come back and take birth in aristocratic family or a very wealthy family, and then you don't have to struggle for the basics, you know, so that you can concentrate on devotional service. And if you have done a lot of advancement in spiritual life, then what happens? Then you take birth in devotee family, like that. And then from childhood, you know, you hear and chant like that. If you see the kids of devotees, they're from the childhood. They're much better than us. They started very late. So they have been, you know, past life they have been devotees. So like that. So this is the assurance of Krishna that there is no loss. Even if you have done little advancement or more advancement, you start from there. And these principles of devotional life, you will be automatically attracted by them. You don't have, like, for myself I can say, like, you know, so initially it's a struggle to read or not. But if we have done lot of advancement, even we have not perfected, next life will be automatically attracted and you can take it from there further, like that. And then in further affirmation is given actually in first canto, where there is a few verses actually. In 5th chapter, there it says, Chakva, Chakva Sadharma, Charanam Bhajante, Bhajan Apakva, Tato, Tato, Tato. So there it says, Apakva. Apakva means mature. Apakva means not mature. So now, if our devotional service is not mature, so there it says actually, one who has left his material occupations and he takes up to devotional life. So actually we have to leave so many material things, material association, material ways of life, you know. So we leave that and we take up to this devotional service. So there in Bhagavatam it says, that even a devotee who has left his material occupation, Swadharma, Chatvasa Dharma, who has left his material occupations and taken up this devotional service, even though he is immature and sometimes he may fall down. So even then, there is no ultimate loss. There is no ultimate loss, and he will be successful. That's what it says there. That even after leaving material occupations and you are immature and you fall down sometimes. Sometimes a devotee falls down. Even then, there is no. He would be successful ultimately. But a materialist, even if he does everything perfectly, he will not gain anything like that. So that's what it says. So if a materialist can go from from bottommost planet to topmost planet, but he would just rotate there in this material world, in this cycle of birth and death. But for a devotee, it's not like that. And very nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam where it says, what happens actually? It's described about a fallen devotee and a materialist. The comparison is given. So now both apparently suffer in material world. Both a fallen devotee and a materialist. But their suffering is not same. So Srila Prabhupada explains how the suffering is not same. A materialist, actually, as we discussed, he is completely under material laws. So he is doing good, getting good, doing bad, getting good. It's like a machine, material energy. But a fallen devotee is being taken care by Krishna. Krishna is himself giving him some chastisement personally. So he is suffering the chastisement of Krishna so that he would come back. And he will come back. Because there it says, Nave jatu katan chana vrajem mukunja sevan upagoyanam pun. So there it says, and rasab grahojana. So once who has tasted Krishna consciousness, even when he falls down, he never forgets that taste of Krishna consciousness. And he can do nothing but remember that taste. Even though he is going through so many problems. So he just remembers, oh, that time was the best time. Or whatever that taste, that prasad we used to. You cannot get that taste anywhere like that. So he suffers apparently in the same way, but it's not the same suffering. So how we stay in devotional life is, so Bhagavad Gita, principles are also there, and it's so important. And when you approach a spiritual master, how scientifically the process works. First we have Shraddha, then further. It's a very scientific process. In second chapter of Bhagavatam, the whole process is described. That when you hear, when you serve pure devotion, then you get this taste for hearing the glories of Lord. And then there are a whole sequence of verses, 6-7 verses described. So what happens actually? So you get this taste for hearing when you serve a pure devotee. And then what happens? Then further, Shrimatam Swatatha Krishna Punya Sadhana Kirtan. So then, when you hear, then goodness, and further all the changes of
Because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahansa.
Because it's describing pastimes of Lord and his devotees, so it's very dear to devotees. So they always want to hear the pastimes and philosophy, pastimes, anything from Bhagavatam and other Vaishnava scriptures like this. So that's the importance. So when we regularly chant this, and regularly meditate and contemplate on these topics, so then what happens? We would apply them in our life. If we regularly chant here and meditate, then we would apply in our life. And then our life will become exemplary and very special. So then we will be able to follow the footsteps of great Vaishnavas like Parikshit Maharaj, whose life is exemplary, his death is exemplary, and so that's the importance of this topic. So I would like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. About taking remnants, and it's such a powerful method that if you take the remnants, mama prasad, of a pure devotee, you all the sins they get go away. And there, Gangeshwar Prabhu was describing that what is the importance, what is the beauty of this thing of taking mama prasad or remnants of pure devotee, is that it's very simple thing. Anyone can do that. When pure devotee comes, he honors prasad. You take the remnant. Anyone can do, and you can get the highest benefit. And then further, I think in that purport where it says about remnant is given, although he Narad Muni asked and took, but even if you don't ask and take, it's okay. How does it feel? So that's the inconceivable. To take something and just dissolves all the same. The Achintya Shakti of Mahaprasad. Mahaprasad, because it's Prasadam itself, it's non different from Krishna. And further, it's tasted by devotees, so there's further, more nectar there. So, like a. A similar description, like when this Srimad Bhagavatam, it's although itself Purana Mangalam, it's itself spotless, but when it was recited by Shukadev Goswami, it became more nectarian. Shukha Mukad Amrita Dravasamata. So, like that, so the Prasadam itself, it's Krishna, but when tasted by devotees, it becomes more nectarian.
When it comes to
any other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you very much. Venkata Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitya Gaura Prabhu.